Oh, gracious God, we give you thanks for a chance to be gathered together wherever we find ourselves this day, to be reminded that we are Easter people living in the hope of your great resurrection. So, oh God, may we encounter you afresh this day as we take a step forward in hope. Now, either through me or in spite of me, might you speak your words to these your people this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to get to be with you, and I'm grateful for those of you who are joining us online. There'll be a moment, maybe you'll take part in the chat, where you're welcome to share your comments. And for those here in the room, don't worry, there's an audience participation part of this sermon coming, okay? So hang with. It's going to be equal opportunity as we share together today. Now, as we begin, we're picking up this theme of coming out of the wilderness. We're starting this new series. And so I can remember a moment where this got sort of crystal clear for me and some of the staff here at St. Luke's. You see, I got an email from Pastor Rob, and it said to me and a few other key members that we needed to clear our calendars for the next morning. We need to be prepared to assemble early for an urgent meeting. And so the next morning, I arrived at the church and went to Rob's office, and I thought, whatever this is, it's got to be big, right? I mean, he's asked us to clear our calendars to make time for this conversation. And it was in that meeting, as you might imagine, that I learned for the first time that we would be suspending in-person worship services, that we would be needing to try to figure out how to do all the things that we love to do online, and moving into this new reality. Now, of course, we thought at the time that this might last a number of days, maybe weeks, months at the longest, certainly, and that has turned into over a year. During that time, as many of you know, businesses have closed. People have lost jobs. We've lost the lives of some people very dear to many of us. And so this wilderness experience, it feels like it's just gone on and on in one way or another. It's been a strange and disorienting experience, one that none of us probably imagined we'd ever have in our lifetimes. I certainly didn't. And yet, slowly but surely, as we've moved through this wilderness, we've started to see some signs of hope on the horizon. Right, vaccines were developed, and then people actually started to get them, people we knew, and then we ourselves were eligible at a certain point. Schools started to reopen. You can now see pictures that loved ones are posting of hugging one another or visiting their grandkids. It's been a long time since those things were possible. And churches like ours are reopening our doors again. And slowly but surely, although it at times felt like a distant memory, the end is beginning to feel like it's in sight. Now, I want to be clear, we need to remain vigilant. Michigan is struggling this day with new cases, and so we're going to keep doing masks for a little while and asking you to pre-register. But at the end, I think we're all a little more hopeful than we were at any previous point. Our own situation that I'm describing right now, I think, really sets the stage. It begins to give us a glimpse of what the Israelites might have been feeling themselves as they finally get close to that promised land. It's beginning to get real. They can actually see it. It's just across the Jordan River, like over there. That's the promised land, this thing we've been working for so long. They've been wandering, just to remember, for 40 years at this point in the desert. And Moses, who's been their great leader who led them out of Egypt, has just died, and Joshua has emerged, his new successor. Now, before they have much time to sulk over this leadership transition that's happened and where they've arrived at, God comes to them through Joshua with a strong word and says to them, as Deborah read for us, you need to get going. Now, remember, they've waited four decades, and it's this moment finally that it really feels like there is truly light at the end of the tunnel. I think this is important because in many ways what this story reminds us of and what this series is going to remind us of is that wherever you might be today, however you got up this morning, it won't always be like today. There is a future out there that is different. And even when days and weeks and months and years go by and it feels like you're in the wilderness, it's possible for us to come out of this. At times, we don't always believe it. It doesn't always feel like it, to be honest. But the wilderness is meant for each of us to be a season, not a sentence that we will forever spend our time in. You can come out of the wilderness. We can come out of the wilderness. And indeed we will. As the Israelites are making preparations to go, God calls them together, kind of like at the NCAA tournament. They gather in the locker room, right? And God is giving them a pep talk before they make this journey. And the first chapter of Joshua records the pep talk a little like this. Be strong and courageous. As the Message paraphrases it, strength, courage. Three different times they hear these very words. The people are coming out of the wilderness, and God gives them a message that they will need to receive in order to make this journey to the promised land. Now, they've been wandering for 40 years, and so you might think, well, of course, they needed strength and courage in the past to even get this far, right? And yet, what has gotten them this far might be different than what they need as they move into this future. It's not that strength and courage weren't needed then and they're not needed now, but maybe we need to hear the word a little differently. You see, there are things that we will need as we move out of the wilderness that might be really helpful for us to hold on to. And they could be different things than what got us to this exact moment. So hear this. As we move out of the wilderness, the first point I want to make for each of us is that this will not be easy, okay? Coming out of the wilderness is not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to happen all at once. It doesn't go on our timeline. We don't get to set all of the rules. Think about the 40 years that the Israelites have been wandering, right? The message that God gives to Joshua here is not that this is going to be something easy. And in the wilderness, they had gotten used to things being a little bit easy, right? Where did their food come from? Well, it appeared every day from heaven. How did they get water? Well, you strike a rock and water suddenly appears. And yet, as they move into this new wilderness, out of the one they were in, it's not going to work like that. Food isn't going to fall from heaven. Water isn't going to come from rocks. They're going to have to work now for the things that they want. I can remember a season in my own life where this got to be really true for us. It was back in 2009, and we were at the height of the last recession. Some of you remember that time well. Megan, my wife, and I had been married just 1 year, and she had finished graduate school, and we were moving back to Nashville, Tennessee, so I could finish my studies as a pastor. You see, I was working as an intern at a church then, but I wasn't making very much money. That might surprise you, but that's true. And so if we were going to make it, Megan needed a job. Right? Needed to be the income for us to get through. And so Megan hoped for a job, as one of us might imagine, in her field of study, in higher education. And we discovered that in 2009, this recession had really hurt colleges. And they, in fact, were not hiring. Now, I couldn't have predicted exactly how this would unfold, but that summer and fall, we applied for over 80 jobs. We wrote so many cover letters. I mean, so many cover letters. I'd be okay if I never write another cover letter again, all right? But Megan would work all day drafting these cover letters, and I would come home at night, and in addition to my studies, I would proof cover letters. That was my job in this period of time. Now, something else that we discovered is so many people were like us and looking for work that some of the old norms kind of went away. You no longer needed to send anything that acknowledged that you had even gotten a person's application. And you certainly didn't need to send anything that acknowledged that you had been rejected. So we'd send out all of these applications and hear absolutely nothing. It was incredibly frustrating and discouraging. But here we were, trying everything that we knew how to do because at the end of the day, we needed a job. And it took family and friends to help us to make rent some of those months in between. That December, a job for us finally came. It was actually the same school that I was attending to be a pastor that hired Megan to do some fundraising work. And that first job determined the shape of her career. You see, there were a couple of paths that she could have taken, but that was the door that opened. And so that's led to the work that she continues to do now and the calling that she enjoys. And it actually brought us closer together too. Because you see, the people that she was raising money for were people like us who were trying to figure out how to make it work. Other people who were answering the call to serve in ministry in one way or another. As I look back on that challenging time, I've come to appreciate that some of the most rewarding and even stretching experiences, the things that really shape us, often are the hardest journeys that we end up taking. Think about the other journeys that God called people to in the Bible, right? Why don't you leave your home and travel to a land that you've never known, and I'll be there with you? Or how about you go ahead and build an ark even though it's not raining outside, right? How about you drop your nets in a way of life that you grew up with to embrace a new calling as a disciple? How about you cross the Red Sea even though you have no idea how it is you'll do it? Just because it's hard, just because it takes work, just because it stretches us, just because it might be the hardest thing that you have ever done, does not mean that it is not from God or that God is not in some way in the midst of it. If it's worth having, sometimes it just doesn't come easy. Strength, courage, God says to us. Which brings me to this second observation. You see, every season that we're in our lives comes with unique challenges. This isn't some small detail, something to make light of. You go, of course, that makes sense. But think about it for a moment. The Israelite people spent 400 years in Egypt in slavery, building houses and barns and even tombs for the Egyptians, right? They spent then 40 years in the desert wandering around trying to find their way. And now, only now, in this new season, will they get a place that they actually get to call home. The deed, for the first time, gets to be in their name, right? They get to grow their own crops, take care of their own fields, and when something gets broken, they can no longer call the landlord in hopes that the landlord is going to fix it. The bill is theirs. They own it. And this is significant because for the last 400 years, they've really just been trying to survive. In the wilderness, they were basically nomads. They had to pitch tents and set up camp and travel wherever it was. They pretty much ate the same diet for 40 years. And they had problems trusting sometimes when they couldn't see exactly how it was that God was at work. So being in the wilderness had its challenges. That part seems pretty clear, right? But watch what God says as he describes what coming out of the wilderness will be like. Every square inch of the land that you set foot on, that's about to be yours. Wow, what an amazing promise. That's something we're celebrating. There's just one small minor detail that God does not mention in this part of the text, which is every square inch of the land you're going to is already occupied by an entirely different group of people who live there. And so there are kings and tribes that live in this place, and oh, they have their own armies. Did I mention that there are seven cities you'll need to conquer and that people even have rumors that there are giants that live in this land? They have fortified walls, right? And so even with this great, exciting new promise of the deed to your own land comes a problem. Other people live there. Even in a new season and new circumstances, problems already crop up. This is where I think we often go wrong in our day-to-day lives. We don't accurately take into account the challenges that come with each unique season of our lives. Coming out of the wilderness, we think, means that all of our problems will disappear. I don't have to remember if my car has a mask, right? And yet there are other problems that will come with this new season that we're walking into. I mean, think about it for a second. It doesn't matter whether you're single or you're married. There are challenges, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a person of faith or not. There are challenges. It doesn't matter whether you are employed or unemployed. There are challenges. Whether you're the supervisor or the employee, there are challenges every season. Every role that we enter into comes with some version of its own challenges. So even though being in the wilderness had its challenges, coming out of the wilderness has its own set of circumstances that will test us as well. So I wonder this morning if we could do ourselves a favor. If we could commit to not telling people that one season of life is going to be that much better than the next. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've heard people say, oh, wait until you're a grandparent, or wait until, that's gonna be so much better. And yet, there are challenges in those seasons. I know that to be true. And so I wonder if those of us here could commit to not pretending as if the next season doesn't have any challenges. If you do that, this is the audience participation part this morning. Would you just say yes? All right, one more time. If you do that, would you just say yes? And if you're watching online, this is your moment where you get to type into the chat yes or make some other commitment that you might make this morning. Because here's the deal. If we are honest about the challenges that we face, if we're not honest about them, we give people the wrong perception about what having a blessing, about what living out God's promise actually looks like. Imagine if we had said to people instead, you know what? Being a follower of Jesus Christ is actually really hard. It's actually confusing sometimes. Imagine if we said that, guess what? Having a child is going to be really great and it's really hard. Imagine if we said to people that loving others, anybody in your life, will at some point or another be hard. It will be challenging. Because when we're honest about the challenges that we face, when other people walk into their own version of a promised land, then they aren't ambushed by the challenges that they face because they don't have some kind of misguided perception about how easy this next season is going to be. Some people have given up on God. They've given up on church. Maybe they've given up on themselves because they assume that the promises and problems could not exist in the next place that they are going. No wonder it's imperative that Joshua tell the people, you're going to need strength and courage to move into this next season. So here's my last observation about our journey out of the wilderness. What got us here to this moment, standing on the bank of the Jordan River, or ready to move out of a pandemic, won't necessarily take us where we need to go. There are ways of thinking and operating that worked really well in the past that will not serve us as well in the future. We might need a different mentality, a different way of approaching the problem. Maybe we needed new technology so that we could engage in Zoom, those sorts of things. But we have to be open as we go out of the wilderness and into something new, to new ways of learning and being together, to new ways of living. I want to give one example that I think illustrates this, and it's from a movie. It's one a little dated, but one I still find really impactful. It's called The Shawshank Redemption. For those of you who don't know the story, the main protagonist is a man named Andy, who is played by Tim Robbins and is sentenced to 2 life sentences in prison for a crime that he did not commit. Now, while in prison, he meets a man named Red, played by Morgan Freeman, who's the star of this story I want to tell you. You see, Red's that guy in prison. You may know somebody like this on the outside who knows everybody, knows how to get whatever it is that you need, whether it's a cigarette or a stone hammer or any manner of other things. And here's the deal. Most of the people who've been there in prison for a long time wonder if they'll ever get out. That's true of the particular prison that these two men find themselves in. And then one day, Red, who's been in prison for 40 years, discovers something really frightening. In fact, he's not sure that he's able to handle it. He's not sure that he could live through it. And that thing he discovers is that after 40 years, he's going to be paroled, set free, released out into the world. And he is terrified. Because you see, for folks who have been in prison a long time, the scariest part is not actually staying in prison. It's getting out and having to navigate a world that is remarkably different than the one they may have left. Take a look at this clip and see if it might resonate with what I'm sharing.
Bathroom break, boss?
You don't need to ask me every time you need to go take a... Just go, understand?
I've been asking permission to. I can't squeeze a drop without say so. There's a harsh truth to face. No way I'm gonna make it on the outside. All I do anymore is think of ways to break my parole. So maybe they'd send me back. Terrible thing to live in fear. Brooks Adeline knew it. Knew it all too well. All I want is to be back where things make sense. Where I won't have to be afraid all the time.
None of us want to live in a place where we have to be afraid all the time. And before you think, well, that's not my circumstance. That's not where I am today. Let's take just one more look. See, for many of us, we know what it's like to survive in really difficult circumstances. We've managed it. We've made it. We're here. And yet, when we're called out of the life that we know, whether that place is difficult or not, it's often challenging for us because what we know, maybe the dysfunction that we grew up with or that we still live with, and we're called to a place that's something different. It can be hard to imagine making that turn. We're afraid of what might be required of us, of what it is that we might need. Do we have that? And the skills and the things that kept us in the place we were before, they're different than the things that we'll need in this new place to which God is inviting us to go. So oftentimes, while the wilderness may feel uncomfortable and we can see the promised land, we're scared to make the move because this is a place we're comfortable. The Israelites had actually mastered the wilderness, right? For 40 years, they have a rhythm. They know when to expect rain. They know where the food will come from. They know how to set up their tents. They know how to make it as wandering nomads. But coming out of the wilderness will be different. It will require new skills. It will require new talents. It will require them to become a people that they had not yet been before. And as that scares some of us, it actually offers so much hope. Some of us right now are in the place where the idea of being sober or being healed or being called or being different is actually the journey that feels like it's the farthest away from where we find ourselves today. And to make that journey, to get across that fear and go into a new place, it's going to require new skills, new ways of living and coping and operating, maybe even new friends. And so recognizing that leaving what's comfortable, even if it doesn't even work for us anymore, requires some new things, God comes a third time to Joshua and says, strength, courage, be strong and courageous. I can't help but imagine that when Joshua and the people hear these words from God and they're still in the wilderness, they can't fully comprehend what's ahead. But I know that they know this. They don't carry any weapons. They're not soldiers. And they know from the spies that have been across the Jordan River that the territory they're going into means that they are outmanned and outnumbered. But God says to them, despite what you fear and what you don't know, and maybe even what you don't have, I want you to be strong and courageous. And here's the most important part, because I am with you. That's what's different. In the wilderness, God led them in a way that was really obvious. By a cloud by day and fire by night. They could see God's literal presence. But as they cross into the promised land, that's all gone now. It's going to be different. What God gives to Joshua instead are these words, to be strong and courageous. He gives him instruction about the law and tells him to study it day and night. And all Joshua is left with in this moment are words, God's words. They're all he has. And I can imagine that as they get to the other side of the Jordan and start to enter that promised land, some other words will enter into his world. People will say, well, you know, you're a nice guy, but you're certainly not Moses. Or there will be other voices that come along the way and say, I agree with the direction, but I really don't think we should have to fight all of these battles along the way. Is there an easier way that we could do this? It'll happen. And in that moment, Joshua won't be able to point to the cloud, and he won't be able to point to the fire and say, God's here. Instead, the only thing he has to point people back to are words, the presence of God that came to them in these words. Did you know that Martin Luther King Jr. never met Gandhi, but was so inspired by his words that it impacted how he approached an entire movement? Do you remember that the Apostle Paul never actually met Jesus, just had an encounter with God, and was so inspired by his words that he gave his life to be the greatest evangelist the world has ever known? Every day in my house, I get a mini sermon about this. You see, I have a little over a one-year-old, and so every day I'm reminded about the power of words because she's learning them every day. And so the other day, something fell from her hand and hit the floor, and I heard her say, uh-oh, and I thought, how did she learn uh-oh? What else has she learned, right? And then I was reminded that I'm teaching in every one of these moments. And so it helped me think about what are the words that I want to offer. Words like, I love you. Words like, I'm here for you no matter what. The truth of our text today is that the words that we carry with us ultimately shape us, not just in the wilderness seasons, which are hard, but as we come out of the wilderness into this next season. There will be challenges, and yet God's words to Joshua and the words that come through him, I think, are the words that we need to hear most. Strength and courage, because God is with us, won't give up on us, won't leave us. And that truth overrides any of the words that we might have already picked up along the way. Whether they're things that we say about ourselves when we wander, whatever others might be saying about us, or whatever it is that we're saying that keeps us from being able to move forward into that promised land. We aren't told to be strong and courageous because it will be easy or because it's what has gotten us this far. We're told to be strong and courageous because God, our God, has a future for us and is with us every step forward we take. So I leave you with Joshua's words. Strength, courage, for I am with you. Friends, it is so. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? God, in this moment, we are grateful that your word continues to come to us across time and space to remind us of the promises that you've given us, the promise that you love us, that you're with us, that you never forsake us, and that you go ahead of us into this new promised land. Give us the strength and courage we need to take steps forward in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.